You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 2nd of June 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Well, I've got a really interesting article to get into today that proves something that I and many other Christian nationalists have been saying for quite some time, something that some white nationalists deny, even though I can't see how that is of any benefit to them. And this study actually comes from Haaretz. It was published on the 31st of May. And the title is Jews and Arabs Share Genetic Links to Ancient Canaanites, Study Finds. And of course, I've been saying that today's modern Jews are Canaanites. And Christian identity in particular says this because Esau Edom, the brother of Jacob Israel, married Canaanite wives, which were a grief of mind to his mother. She almost committed suicide over it, is what it implies in the Bible. And that's the reason why Jacob Israel was put in the place of Esau Edom to get the blessing from his father. So all the descendants of Esau Edom were Canaanites. And then later on, when you get the removal of Israel and Judah from their lands to Babylon and Assyria, these Edomites move back into the area. And then when the tribe of Judah went back there, instead of removing them again, they actually intermarried with them and brought them into the what remained of the Hebrew religion. And by the time you get to the time that Jesus is around, all the high priests, the Pharisees, even the king of Judea is an Edomite Canaanite. So what that implies is that today's modern Jews, they didn't write the Bible. They're the enemies of God in the Old Testament. And of course, this explains why they were so against Jesus, why Herod was against Jesus, why the Jews of Jesus' time were against Jesus, because they're not the Israelites. And this study proves this. And of course, this is of benefit to white nationalists in particular to speak about this. If they wish to bring Christians on side, then this is very important, because if Christians are believing that the Jews are Israel, then they're going to feel that they can't criticize them. And they're also going to be confused, basically, because they're going to think that they should be blessing the Jews. They should be supporting the Jews in Israel. And of course, if the Jews are Canaanites, then that explains a lot. That explains why the Jews are the way that they are, and it means that Christians shouldn't be supporting them. Most of today's Jewish and Arabic-speaking populations share a strong genetic link to the ancient Canaanites, a study by an international team of archaeologists and geneticists has found. These modern-day groups in Israel, Jordan, Lebanon, and parts of Syria share a large part of their ancestry, in most cases more than half, with the people who lived in the Levant during the Bronze Age more than 3,000 years ago, the study concludes. And of course, the Canaanites were removed from the land by the Israelites. The researchers also determined that the Canaanites who frequently appear in ancient sources, including the Bible, descended from a mixture of an earlier Levantine population and migrants coming from the Caucasus region or northwestern Iran. So they were a mixture of Aryans, basically, and a population that was in the Levant before then. And of course, that's what Christian identity teaches, that Canaan, the son of Noah, or the son of Ham, whichever interpretation of the particular verse you decide to go with, married the peoples that were already there in that area. And of course, his offspring were then mixed. And that's what this is saying here. Whether you think that that is just a sort of parable that's talking about Caucasians mixing with non-whites, or if you think it's just one particular person that was mixing with non-whites, that's what happened there. In the wide-ranging study published Thursday in the journal Cell, experts analysed genetic material from dozens of skeletons found at Canaanite sites across Israel and neighbouring countries and compared it to the genomes of other ancient populations, as well as to modern-day groups. The study suggests there is a deep genetic connection of many Jewish groups today across the diaspora and many Arab groups to this part of the world thousands of years ago, says David Reich, a Harvard University geneticist and one of the world's top experts in the study of ancient DNA. And the point is that while the land of Israel and Judah were in Israelite hands, it was all Caucasian. This is talking about before the Israelites took over the land. The land of Canaan and its inhabitants are mentioned in documents from the 2nd millennium BCE, such as the Amarna Letters, an archive of ancient Egyptian correspondence between the pharaohs and their colonial empire in the Levant. The Bible describes the Canaanites as the inhabitants of the Holy Land before the Israelites conquered it following their exodus from Egypt. And those Amarna Letters are begging letters to the pharaoh to come and help the Canaanites in their fight against Joshua. Joshua was exterminating the Canaanites at this time, and those letters prove that that is what was going on, and the Canaanites were a subservient state to the Egyptians, and the Egyptians didn't want to help them out, probably because they remembered what happened with the Israelites the last time they had any interaction with them. So Egypt didn't go in to help the Canaanites out, and they were wiped out from that area. The Holy Text also claims that the arriving Israelites destroyed all that breathed, Joshua 10:40, and exterminated the Canaanites during the conquest of land. Well, it doesn't say that they destroyed them everywhere. There were some parts where they didn't destroy them. There was one particular tribe that used subterfuge to get them to make an oath to work with them. So one particular Canaanite tribe ended up being servants, basically, which broke the promise that had been made to Yahweh to destroy all the Canaanites that were in that land. So there were some that were still there, but there were areas that there were entirely no Canaanites at all, particularly the land of Moab. It tells us that they were wiped out entirely there. But Haratz tells us that this is not borne out by most archaeological and biblical scholarship over the last decade, which suggests that the story of the conquest, like most of the Bible, was written much later than the events it purports to relate. Well, the Amarna letters prove that it did happen, because that is the Canaanites saying they are being invaded, and that ties in with Joshua. And when you look at the link that they put here to try and say that this biblical scholar, the Bible was written much later, well, it may have been rewritten much later, but the facts are that the way that Genesis is written in each section, it's written in a way that had been not used for 2,000 years by the time we get to the Septuagint. It's written in a way that clay tablets were written, where The beginning of the tablet would tell you whose tablet it was. The end of the tablet would tell you when it was written. And it would tell you what number it was in sequence, which was the way that these clay tablets were written. So the way that Genesis is written tells us that it originally came from clay tablets that hadn't actually been in use for about 2,000 years by the time that the Septuagint was written. So I would question their scholarship here, saying that the Bible wasn't written until much later. Because, of course, they're trying to discredit the Bible here as well. As archaeologist Anne Killebrew wrote in her 2005 book, Biblical Peoples and Ethnicity, almost without exception, scholars agree that the account in Joshua holds little historical value vis-a-vis early Israel. Well, how do they explain the Amarna letters then? Instead, it now seems more likely that between the end of the Bronze Age and the early Iron Age, that is just over 3,000 years ago, Canaanite culture slowly evolved and morphed into that of the various peoples that are familiar to any reader of the Bible. The Israelites, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and so on. One partial exception to this model would be the Philistines, who appear to have had at least some southern European ancestry. Well, they didn't evolve, and they haven't actually got any proof that there was any continuation here. What they're saying is, because the peoples that we call Jews and Arabs today, because they have similar DNA to the peoples that were living in that area 3,000 years ago, they must have been there all that time. And, of course, they weren't. There were parts of it where they weren't, which is where the Israelites actually were. The Moabites originally started off as white, and the Ammonites also originally started off as white. They were both descended from Abraham's brother Lot. After the destruction of Sodom, Lot's daughters thought that there were no white men left alive, and they got their father drunk, and when he was passed out, they bred with him, basically, and his sons became the Moabites and the Ammonites. And of course, that was an unlawful marriage. Other whites wouldn't have wanted to marry them. And from what we can see in the Old Testament, eventually the Moabites and the Ammonites were just classed as being Canaanites. They had interbred with the Canaanites. They took Canaanite wives. The new genetic study provides powerful backing to this idea of continuity. Well, I don't think it does. Though the researchers caution that we don't yet have enough ancient DNA samples from later eras, especially the Iron Age, to trace a direct line between the Canaanites and today's Middle Eastern populations. And that's the point here. That was when the Israelites kicked the Canaanites out and had the Israelite Empire, which stretched all the way to Palmyra under Solomon. That was the Iron Age. And that's where they don't have the DNA samples here. They say there may yet be another unsampled population from the Levant that has a more direct link to Jews and Arabs today, qualifies Lira and Carmel, a computational biologist from the Hebrew University in Jerusalem and one of the lead authors of the study. The unsampled population will be the actual Israelites. The Jews and the Arabs of today, as we see here, they go back to the Canaanites, who we are told in the Bible were a completely different people. Still, the genetic commonalities between modern Levantine groups and their Canaanite predecessors are strong. During the course of the 4-year-long study, the researchers analysed the genome of 93 people who lived roughly between 2500 BCE and 1000 BCE, and whose remains were uncovered in Israel, Lebanon, and Jordan. And if you think the removal of Israel and Judah from their lands happened, I believe, about 700 BC, well, that would mean that they only would have taken over that land in about 1000 BCE, which is where these samples go up to. So the samples only go up to the time when the Israelites actually took over that area. They then compared the genetic material to samples from 17 modern populations, including European or Ashkenazi Jews, Palestinians, and other Middle Eastern groups. In most of these, the percentage of ancestry matching that of the Bronze Age samples was above 50%. So 50% Canaanite. Saudi Arabians, Bedouins and Iranian Jews had the highest ratio, hovering around 90%. These were followed by Palestinians, Jordanians and Syrians, with an 80% of ancestry shared with the Canaanites. Moroccan and Ashkenazi Jews had a roughly 70 and 60% contribution. Somewhat unsurprisingly, most of the rest of the ancestry of Ashkenazi Jews comes from Europe. The lowest percentages of Middle Eastern ancestry were found in modern-day Moroccans, 40%, and 20% for Ethiopian Jews, who have a strong contribution from Eastern African ancestry. The main goal of this study, titled The Genomic History of the Bronze Age Southern Levant, was to determine the origins of the Canaanites and whether they could be described as a genetically coherent group distinct from their neighbours, says Reich, the Harvard geneticist. We know that the Canaanites were divided into various independent city-states, many of them powerful in their own right, such as Megiddo, Hazor, Acre, and so on. Plus, most of the texts about them coming from outside or later sources. So there has been some question among researchers as to whether we should even be speaking about a Canaanite people, and whether this nomenclature is not a later artificial construct, Reich says. The new study shows that genetically, at least, the Canaanites did have a lot in common with each other. Most of the recovered genomes from Sidon in Lebanon through Megiddo in the Jezreel Valley and down to Ashkelon in southern Israel could be modelled as having a roughly 50-50 contribution of ancestry from local Neolithic inhabitants, that's Stone Age inhabitants, and from a group that hailed from the Caucasus or the northwest Zagros Mountains in today's Iran, so Caucasian, Aryan. So they were a mix of Aryan and the Stone Age inhabitants of the area, the Stone Age non-white inhabitants of the area. Researchers have known for a while that there were large influxes of people into the southern Levant over the last millennia of prehistory. For example, a previous ancient DNA study found that a Copper Age culture centred near the modern-day Galilean village of Pekin emerged from the admixture of a local population with Anatolian and Iranian newcomers. And again, Anatolia was European. And what they're saying here is it's the Copper Age, and this is in Galilee. And of course, we know that they have found Caucasian bodies in Galilee. That was where the Benjamites settled. So if you've got the Copper Age here, which I believe is after the Iron Age, again, this confirms that the people that were there were Aryan. The Benjamites were Aryan. In the case of the Canaanites, it is more likely that the population influx came from the Caucasus rather than Iran, because we do have evidence of a cultural link between the Caucasus and the southern Levant in the Bronze Age, says Israel Finkelstein, a Tel Aviv University archaeologist who took part in the study. The connection is particularly clear at Kirbeth Kerak, a site on the southern shore of the Sea of Galilee, dated to the first half of the 3rd millennium BCE. There, archaeologists found pottery, vessels, typified with the name Kirbeth Kerak ware, which bear strong similarities to the ceramics produced by the Kura Araxes culture, a civilization that spanned the Caucasus region in the early Bronze Age. So they're talking about trading connections there, contact there between Aryans and these non-whites that were living in the land of Canaan at the time. This type of pottery is very clearly influenced by this northern culture, and the question is whether the influence was by contact, such as trade or exchange of knowledge, or people moving, Finkelstein says. Now we have evidence that it was people moving. Further bolstering the theory of Caucasian admixture, Finkelstein notes, is the fact that the names of some Canaanite rulers mentioned in the 14th century BCE Amarna documents from Egypt are not Semitic in origin, but Hurrian, a language then spoken in northern Syria and eastern Anatolia. I do believe the Hurrians were actually Canaanites, but we get more confirmation later on of these Canaanites gradually becoming more Aryanized. For the ancestry of the Canaanites to be split halfway between locals and newcomers, there would have had to be an influx of a significant number of people. And a question that begs to be asked is whether this inflow was an invasion or a peaceful migration. While we cannot be sure of its nature, It is likely that this phenomenon occurred over a long period of time, perhaps centuries, says Carmel, the bioinformatics expert. This is based on the fact that the percentage of Caucasian Iranian descent tends to be lower in the older samples in the data set and increases with time, he says. And that's basically as the interbreeding carried on. And this original Neolithic non-white group gradually became whiter with more of these white folks that were breeding with them. I don't think we are dealing with an invasion, Finkelstein adds. We have no archaeological evidence of destruction or a major disruption in the early Bronze Age. Well, you do have evidence of the Israelites wiping out the Canaanites. That's what these Tel El Amarna letters are saying. But I'm not sure which part of the Bronze Age that actually took place in. There is evidence that the waves of migration continued for centuries, at least until the beginning of the Late Bronze Age. Three individuals unearthed at Megiddo and dated to the 16th and 15th centuries BCE were found to have a much larger percentage of Caucasian ancestry, with only around 20% of their genome deriving from the local Neolithic population. This means that these three were likely descendants of people who had arrived from the Caucasus relatively recently, just a few generations earlier. And this has sort of taken us up to the time where the Israelites then went in there and invaded and got rid of them. I mean, there may well have been some mixing between the Israelite types with the Canaanite types. We do read about that happening in the Old Testament. Of course, that was totally against the law, but it did happen. They are castigated for doing that, and some of them are executed for doing that. And of course, we do read about the Israelites falling for Baal worship and all sorts later on. The next step for researchers will be to continue modelling the ancient populations of the Levant, especially after the time of the Canaanites, Finkelstein says. It will be interesting to see what happened afterwards. What was the genetic profile of the people of biblical Israel and Judah? How do they connect to us and to their predecessors? And what were the other contributions to the genetic pool along the way? And this is the point. The genetic profile of biblical Israel and Judah is not the same as these Canaanites. Arabs and Jews today may have this Canaanite admixture, but the whole point of what the Israelites were doing is that they didn't have this admixture. All these laws that they had about not wearing wool and cotton together, not sowing two different types of seed in a field, not yoking two different types of animal together, those laws, which just sound sort of a bit bizarre to us today, that was to remind them that you shouldn't be mixing. The first law in the Bible is kind after kind, and that's the law of nature, and it repeats it about 10 times in the first two chapters in Genesis. And then you get to the time of Israel, and you get this promise that is made to Abraham and to the fruit of his loins, and that the seed of his loins will become many nations. And of course, if that seed marries out of the tribe, if that seed marries, say, a Canaanite, then that promise no longer applies to them, which is why the Israelites ended up with their empire, which they had, which we know today as the Phoenician Empire. And the promise of them being a nation and a company of nations, that comes true with the United States, it comes true with the Commonwealth. And all these promises that were actually made to Abraham and his descendants, none of them apply to the modern Jews. None of them at all can even be twisted to make them apply to the modern Jews. But they all came true for the European nations. And of course, the European nations became Christian. And the Jews of Jesus' time, they certainly weren't interested in what Jesus had to say. It's quite obvious in the New Testament that they are against Jesus. Of course, E. Michael Jones claims that because they rejected Jesus that was the start of their rejection, and they rejected the Logos. But once you understand that those people were Canaanites, you understand why they rejected Jesus, because they were seen as the enemies of God right back at the start of the Old Testament. And it tells you what they're involved in. It tells us that they promote race mixing, they promote usury, they promote all these degenerate things, and it tells us that in the Old Testament, adultery, idolatry, and fornication, and these are the reasons why the Israelites were told to either execute them or drive them out from the land. And they didn't drive them out from the land. They did for a while there. I guess they had probably about 100 years where they actually obeyed their God, and then they disobeyed their God, and they tried to make servants out of them, and they made deals with them, they made treaties with them. I mean, they were told not to seek their peace, not to make treaties with them, and not to seek their peace. And they did, and eventually they are told that, well, now they will be thorns in your sides and pricks in your eyes, and you'll have to learn the arts of war to deal with them. And of course, then you can look at how the Jews themselves were used by the kings, the monarchies in Europe, and they were sort of kept by the kings as tax collectors and for making money for these kings. And eventually they were emancipated in the French Revolution and given civil rights, and they were able to become politicians and take part in civil society, and now they've managed to work their way up to the top of society with a large influence in media, a large influence in banking, a large influence in politics. And that was all foretold in the promises to Abraham, that eventually that Esau would have the upper hand, and Esau would break free, and he would have the upper hand, and that would be the time of Jacob's trouble. And that is the time today. Now, I don't very often talk about Christian identity on here. Radio Albion isn't a Christian identity station, but I'm talking about it today because this report here proves what Christian identists have been saying for years, that the Jews are Canaanites, and it is important for us to understand that, just as it is important to understand our own origins and the origins of all the other races, and the history, the real history, not the false history that we are taught. And this also confirms the Bible. And it confirms that our ancestors weren't taking on some kind of a foreign religion. They were taking on the religion that was always intended for them, because they were the descendants of the Israelites. The descendants of the Canaanites are the Jews today. And that explains so much, doesn't it? That explains so much of why things are the way that they are. It explains why God was against these Canaanites. It explains why the Jews don't behave like Christians, why they don't behave like Israelites. They behave like these other peoples in the Old Testament. So I wonder whether some of the people that are always knocking Christianity and saying the Jews wrote the Bible, I wonder whether they'll change their tune now and admit that actually the Bible was nothing to do with the Jews, and their ancestors, the Canaanites, were identified as the enemies in the Old Testament. And of course, that explains why the Jews are the enemies in the New Testament. And the confusion is because people today think that the Jews are Israel. They think there is some kind of a disconnect there, that the Old Testament supports this group and the New Testament denies them. And of course, there is no inconsistency. There is a consistency right the way through. The problem lies with our identification of these peoples. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.